Here at Strange Magic, Amanda and I talk about our views on tarot and the ways in which we practice magic.
And we understand that other people have different ways of practicing and different interpretations of the tarot, and that's totally okay.
Take what you'd like and leave the rest. The Magician.
Making choices.
And using what you have
available to you. Welcome to Strange Magic.
Hi, how are you today?
I am so excited to be here talking about The Magician with you.
Me too. We're really excited because now with this episode, we really get to dive into the kind of meat of the major arcana, right?
Because we're diving into material reality for the first time, right? The Fool does not exist, really. It's still in the realm of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But then with the Magician is the first time we draw that idea into material reality and make it real.
Boy, is he ready to go.
Right.
He is ready to, he's DTF, people.
Oh, nice. I like that one. Okay. So yeah, so the Magician, we can kind of think of him as like, or her, him, her.
Them.
Them. We can think of them as in developmental stage of like childhood development or like the beginning of a human being. It's like the baby stage.
He's numero uno, people. He's number one. He is about me, myself, and I, about the ego, about that desire, about that kind of impulse and instinct to create.
Right. It's like all about what I want. And if we think about kids, right, we think about a toddler, a child, a baby, they have to
or
be that
some adults.
Or some adults. Right, but as a child, you know, you're not, you shouldn't be obligated. So this is not a value judgment on the Magician that it's just like all about himself, but it is, that's what it's about.
It's about the self. It's also about materialization, mm-hmm. about making your desires and your will into tangible form, using what you have.
Using what you have available to you. So like, we think of the Fool as the void, right? The imagination, and it can be anything, right? We were talking before in the last episode about how things can be more than one thing in the imagination. So it's like when you have an idea for a book and it could be anything, and in your imagination, it is so great. And then you start to write it, and then sort of reality starts to stick in.
Are we speaking from experience here? I'm just kidding.
But, you know, so it's basically, you know, it's all about making choices. So you imagine something and then you bring it into material reality through the choices that you make.
I also think about this idea coming up with the Magician of acting versus reacting. So the Magician, let's just get into it. Magic.
Yeah.
He's magic. The yeah. Magician. Mm-hmm. Magic is in that word.
Right.
So let's sort of talk about definitions of magic. Yeah.
Right. Changing material reality according to your will, I think, is the old standard.
Changing consciousness at will, which is, you know, an ability we all have, right? Mm. It's not that one person is more special than another. Everybody has this access of being able to change either your consciousness or even your energy, right? Mm. At will. So I also think about, you know, acting versus reacting, the Fool plus the ego, the Fool being the activator, then equals like will and or free will, right?
Right. So the imagination plus the ego, right? The imagination is possibility plus desire, personal desire, which is like I want, basically equals will. Mm-hmm. And so essentially when you're dealing with the Magician, you're dealing with the energy of will.
And one thing that is really interesting about this card, one of the many, is that it is the first card in the majors, but it also is the card where we see all of the correspondences of the elements of the minors. So in typical decks or in a lot of the traditional decks, you'll see in the Magician card, whether, you know, some people call their suits cups, some people call it bottles, you know, there's, we'll
sure,
get into that later.
Coins versus pentacles.
Pentacles, discs. The point is, this is the first place kind of where the miners make an appearance all on this person's table or altar.
Yes. So the aces of the minor arcana, which if any of you have seen a regular playing card deck, you'll know that there's always an ace. So the aces always correspond to the Magician, right? And if you've ever seen a regular playing deck, you'll see that, you know, you're familiar with like the ace of hearts, for instance, or the ace of spades. And so those all correspond to suits. But you'll also see that on the Magician's table, he has wands, he has a coin or a pentacle, he has
a cup,
right?
And he himself then is the vessel. Mm-hmm. He himself is the channel. He has
the conduit.
He's a conduit. He has one arm pointed up and one pointed down to ground. He is one.
As above, so below.
Booyah. So, you know, he is sort of the magic wand himself.
Exactly. He's the magic wand, right? It's from his imagination that he pulls from the realm of consciousness and pulls things into material reality according to his will. That's, he's directing it. He's saying, I want this, and he's bringing it into material reality. And for me, I always like to think of the first amoebas and protozoas on the face of the earth, right? In this kind of acidic cosmic soup in the ocean, inhospitable place, can't run out to Target when they run out of like duct tape, right? They like, so we think of these amoebas sitting in the ocean, and they made every single living thing around us, right? From those amoebas, all life emerges, and they didn't say, well, I don't know how to do it, or like, I don't have what I need to do this.
Target was out of the soda stream.
Yeah. So they just use what they have available. They mm-hmm. use their tools to make all life on earth. And so when you get the magician in a reading, it's really about using the tools that you have available to you.
It's really a card about saying you have all the resources you need, whether you see them or not, because they are all inside of you. You know, the magician is number one, so I can't not think of like the start of the hero's journey.
Yes.
And all of those hero's journeys, whether it's Dorothy and her red shoes, or all of these tales, or Candide and his garden, you know, they go around, they traipse around the world, and at the end of the day, they have to come back to themselves because they are the thing. They are the magic. They are the whatever. And I think the magician is his own roundup. Like, you know, like he's sort of contained. The idea of the magician is that, you know, he's in his garden, he's in his sanctuary. So, you know, yes, he could go elsewhere. He could look outside, you know, for external validation, but he has everything he needs. So for me, it's a reminder that like, I have my own treasure trove. Maybe I can't quite identify it, or I need someone to kind of help me. But at the end of the day, it's sort of my will and my consciousness changing, my magic and my power that I can fundamentally rely on, which I also sort of sometimes think of the magician as a sort of like nice reminder to trust.
Yeah, I love that. I also wanted to add on to what you were saying about the magician being in his garden. So in many versions of the tarot, you'll see him standing in a garden with a gate behind him. So he could leave. He's about to go off onto his path or his journey. But he's got this table of tools before him. And he's in the position of the hermetic gesture, pointing to the sky, pointing to the earth. So just to sort of fill you in on all of that. But also, you know, going back to that hero's journey thing, which I think is really exciting, is, yeah, so the magician is the hero at the beginning of the journey. But the beginning of the journey, according to Joseph Campbell, starts with a choice. The hero mm-hmm. has to make a choice. Mm-hmm. So we have the hero in his hometown kind of twiddling his thumbs like Luke on that weird planet where he's just kind of like playing in the sand. Or Ray, more appropriately. And then someone comes along and is like, hey, you want to come on this big bad adventure with me? And he has to decide, or she has to decide, whether or not she's going to go. Mm-hmm. And then she has to say yes to the adventure. And so the magician is all about making that choice to say yes and move forward.
I would also say that the magician is also a card about making the choice to be magical and to be your own magic and to really take that risk and take that leap into grounding into yourself, using the elements to make things happen for yourself, you know? And fundamentally, it's also about desire and what we desire and what we want, you know?
Absolutely, because fundamentally, that is what magic is. I mean, magic is many things, but in the case of the magician, it's about realizing your desires. It's about being an agent, right? And taking the power into your own hands. And so before you can make magic, before you can have magic, a magical outcome, you need to decide what it is that you want. And you need to be able to say it really clearly.
100%. Can we talk now a little bit about the shadow side of it, the, you know, not so great stuff, and also sort of how popular culture does view magic and magicians and all that. So let's go for that.
Okay.
Like, what's kind of some of the dark, shadowy aspects of this?
Well, so as we know, like when we think about magicians in popular culture, often we'll think about the kind that saw women in half or like make rabbits appear from hats. They're kind of like...
Well, it's smoke and mirrors, first of all. It's
tricks.
Like, tricks.
Sleight of hand.
Manipulation.
For entertainment purposes. Trying to pretend that you have more power than you do, for instance. Mm-hmm. Also, so there's a real sort of snake oil salesman kind of quality to the magician.
That also sometimes comes in, like sometimes when this card comes in, I have to ask myself or the client, is this too good to be true? Yeah. You know, because there can be a smoke and mirrors sort of aspect where they can't quite yet see and they have to then go inside into the next card, which is the High Priestess, which we'll talk about next episode. But I also think that, you know, there's that element sometimes of confusion or of surface.
Could it also be of like selfishness?
Yeah.
Right? When you're just thinking about what you want and mm-hmm. what would be good for you, maybe to the detriment of others. Mm-hmm. Also, for instance, like if it's the shadow side, let's say you get it in reverse, depending on mm-hmm. if you read reversals, maybe question for another day. But so not being able to make a decision, indecisiveness might be a sort of negative quality of like a not fully realized magician. Mm-hmm. So one way of being able to read a tarot card is by thinking about the associations that you have about it in your own life. So if you think, what's a bad magician? Well, a bad magician is someone who you're like, I see the string.
Yes.
And we don't mean the tampon string, or maybe we do, depending on
that would be a good, that would be an awesome magician.
Yeah, if you can see the tampon string, you're a good magician in mm-hmm. our opinion. Yeah.
There's another aspect of a bad magician in a way is someone who takes advantage.
Right. So someone who's using power nefariously to mm-hmm. achieve bad ends. I mean, Trump is a horrible magician.
But he does fall into some of the archetypes of that card. Yeah, you know?
Absolutely. Like a powerful agent who acts decisively. I mean, he just makes choices willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's certainly the quality of a bad magician.
Absolutely.
Other pop culture figures.
Yeah, let's kind of get into that, right?
Job from Arrested Development, spelled Gob, right? So he's like dancing around, running amok. He thinks he's so cool.
He can never land a magic trick.
He can't ever do it right. He's not skillful. That's an important thing about
mastery.
Yeah, so the magician is all about skill.
I also think like this particular character, just to stay on Job, he's more interested in what the tricks will get him and less interested in the tricks. Like, do you know what I mean?
Right,
he's more
interested.
He wants to be the most famous magician that ever existed without actually thinking about how to actually do the trick.
Or doing any of the work or like mm-hmm. the meditating or the practicing or like skillfully manipulating those cards. He just doesn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Another more positive kind of archetype. I just have to think about like Merlin, like Dumbledore is like a selfless magician. He was like thinking about what, you know, the whole needed, and he actually ultimately sacrificed himself sort of for the whole. So, but not only that, he was like one of the most powerful magicians because he led with compassion and with awareness for the whole, right?
Yeah. So when the magician comes up in a reading, what is like, what might someone... What should they think about?
Well, here's the thing, right? As a reader, cards like the magician generally make my job pretty easy because there are a few cards in the deck where when you see it, it's generally always a hell yes, a hell yes, a you got this, a yes, or a yeah, right? And I think that in general, again, depending on what other cards are around it, when you get the magician specifically at like the beginning or an outcome card, it's like, especially if my client is dealing with issues of self or self-worth or fear or doubt, it's like, yeah, you got this. Like,
and say what you want, like articulate it really clearly. Mm-hmm. So you might need to like go back and revisit. Like, can you say what you want in one sentence? Mm. That's something that might come up if you get the magician. It's like, set your intention. And then remember that you can make this happen. I mean, then I want to go within reason because, you know, yes, we are living in capitalist culture, and if you can't make it happen, you know, it's not always necessarily your fault, but you're going to take the agency into your own hands.
Well, I also think about, you know, to put it outside of capitalism and to think about artists is when you're speaking about having all the resources and the treasure trove. I started thinking about Carolee Schneemann and her vagina scroll piece where it's like literally coming out of her. And then I think about a lot of her other work, which is literally using like scraps of paper, her own body. Mm. Most of the time performance artists are using their own body. That is a very magician to me kind of, you know, vibe as it were.
There's Carolee like basically being the amoeba in the cosmic soup. And she's not saying, I can't get the fancy materials from the sculpture store. She's like, all right, I'll use paper from my vagina. And
there it
and
is.
And now she's in every like art history 101 book there is because she just took what she had available to her and she used it.
Sometimes it's nice. The magician is a great reminder to use your limitations as a plus and not a minus, and to be really scrappy and really resourceful, and to realize that we don't need to have everything we need. You know, society really sells us on that. You need to have the perfect thing, or you have to be the perfect, you have to be white and skinny or like whatever. Ew. And you know, this card in a kind of positive way can say, you already have everything you need. It's totally cool. A piece of paper can become a Torah that comes out of your vagina that you read about a new manifesto. You know, so I think that it's also a really great reminder to use our resources and that limitations are really only existing in our mind or as sort of a crutch of sort of doubt and or a societal crutch.
Well, what about if it comes up as someone else in your reading? So let's say someone's saying, oh, I'm just uncertain about this new person in my life. And the magician comes up. What would you say then?
I would say to wait.
Oh, really?
I would say to wait and see.
Yeah, I think it might be like pay attention to their stage show.
Their motives.
Yeah, and look and see how good a magician they are, you know, and what their intentions are, which doesn't mean that they're necessarily bad.
No, absolutely.
And it also could mean, yeah, this person is like powerful. They have great magic. You know, they're able to make things manifest, to bring things into material reality, but you don't necessarily, the magician is not, he doesn't have a moral position.
Correct. That's really a really, really good comment to add with sort of any of the cards.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like the High Priestess, for instance, she does kind of serve like a function of a healer, right? She is working in service, whereas the magician is not about working in service. He's about working in service of his own desires, which is sometimes necessary.
Well, and last but not least, sometimes you guys, ego is a good thing. Like sometimes like we need people to have more of an ego, you know? So sometimes when a client comes in and they are unsure or they like, they need reassurance, I'll say to them, you know, you need to be a bit more selfish. You need to think about what you really want, not what your mom told you, not what your partner is telling you, not what your boss is telling you. What do you want? And to like assert that will, you know?
Absolutely. Because I mean, yeah, we're not going to tell Donald Trump to go assert his will. But like for me, most of my clients, their problem is not that they assert their will too much.
That they're the ruler of the largest free nation on the planet.
Exactly. Like, you know, a lot of my clients feel like they have to accommodate people too much. And so being able to just articulate what you want and then say, I am going to make this happen.
Okay. Last but not least, and I swear we'll wrap it up, but you just made me think of something I wanted to say. A grounding and a calling back of energy. I think so much of the magician has to do with energy, our consciousness. Mm. And a lot of times when people get it, if they're getting kind of pulled willy-nilly around other people or constellations, they have to kind of call their energy back and they have to make sure that their energy is solely their own.
And that is really the first, like that's witchcraft 101. Like, so when you are a witch, the first thing that you need to do, the most essential practice is grounding and centering, right? Connecting yourself with the earth, pulling in the energy from heaven, calling your full spirit back home into your body. So calling your energy back. That's like, if you get the magician in a reading, first step magically, ground, call your energy back, center yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Could not agree more. Some magical tips that I would recommend if the card comes up for you and you are really interested in developing your magic is really developing your magic in a sense of relationship with yourself. So I'm like writing one of my many moon books now, and one of the like third or fourth chapters is literally going to be called Deprogramming for Witches. And it's asking witches to think about what's around them and their own magical practices, where they came from and why. Why do you use this Palo Santo? Why are you using, you know, a certain stone? Who told you that? How does it feel inside yourself? How does it resonate inside of you with your practice? Because we have to kind of, if we're giving tips on sort of a framework, groundwork, magical practice, it really has to resonate strongly with the self.
Yeah, and what you're really talking about is about getting to know your tools, your Palo Santo or your candle or your bell or your athame or whatever it is that you're using. Why are you using it? So it's about developing that familiarity and developing your skillful means.
And also developing your personal, intimate, sometimes private, magical superpower. So you might be really good at ritual, or you might be really good at coming up with spell like rhymes, or you know what I mean? And it's developing that and honing in on that. And the other thing about the magician that I can kind of dovetail into the magical practice is focusing in on what you're good at and what you enjoy doing. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think so often we tend to sort of look for where we have weakness, and we sometimes you just don't need to kind of make everything you do amazing. You know, you kind of focus in on what's working for you.
You use what you have available to you and you practice and you become skillful, and then you become an adept, which is what the magician is really working towards, moving from being some, you know, card sharp in the local plaza to being an adept kind of guru style figure, an evolved human being.
Or just getting really good at card shuffling.
Just being really like the top. But also thinking about, you know, these are tips for how you might use it magically, but they also apply to how you might use this in your own life. For instance, really recognizing, what are you skillful at? What do you want to be more skillful at? And what tools do you have available to you that could help you do this?
And I think sometimes with capitalism, we don't even get to see, or we don't even readily get a mirror shown to us of certain skill sets that is invisible labor. Like, I feel like especially femmes or women or queers of all stripes, we do a lot of invisible labor that is incredibly valuable and is a skill set. And I think the magician can come in as a reminder to define your skill sets, whether they're readily apparent or whether you have to tell other people, hey, like, I just did this, or hey, I'm very good at, you know, there's this funny term in the medical field that my partner is part of called soft skills. And it's like,
which for doctors is so important.
And a lot of them
don't really have.
So he's a nurse, so he's really good at having soft skills. And in his field, that's valuable. And I was sort of talking to him about this, and I was saying, I wish the soft skills we all have, in quotes, in our own kind of worlds, our roles, what we do for money, what we don't do for money, how we show up for ourselves and others, were kind of could be on our life resume, do you know? So I think the magician can come in to remind us to recognize what invisible skill sets we have and make them more readily apparent, not only to other people around us, but first and foremost to ourselves.
Absolutely. And also building on that, thinking about what you want, you know? So like a lot of the time we think we should want one thing. Like we're like, oh, I should want to do the thing that I got my degree in, but really you want to make money or want to have a baby, for instance, but you feel embarrassed to say that because, you know, you went to grad school with a bunch of people who don't think you should have a baby or whatever. And so it's really about being able to identify, well, what do I really want? Not what should I want if I listen to what everybody else tells me.
This is the time that you want to listen to the Spice Girls tell you what I want, what I really, really want, which is what I ask clients, which is what I ask myself, which is something I think about with manifestation work, where if you are going to manifest a certain quality, whether inside yourself or outside yourself, you have to get really clear. And if what you really, really want is to have a baby or is to make money, or is to, you know, start a commune where we, you know, cultivate heirloom tomato seeds, which we'll be doing when we come back around.
And right.
Whatever it is, whether you want to become a wig maker, a dog walker, a CEO, whatever, you have to get clear on that.
You have to be able to articulate that. In order for your magic to work, you have to be able to say, I will this. I want this. This is it, in one sentence.
Yeah, so I think we've given people a lot of kind of good starts.
Got a lot to work with there, yeah.
Got a lot to work with there. So stay tuned, and you can find us
at Oracle of LA, Facebook, Instagram,
or GOTTESSS on Instagram, or visualmagic.info. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening. Bye.
You know how, like, when you're driving in LA and there's always these cars that want to jump out from a side street? He always goes with his hand, like, to keep them there. It's really cute.
He's a magician.
Magician move.